So the other day, I was driving down the road after class, and I was on my way down to Hoop Cheese. And believe it or not, I saw the biggest rabbit I've ever seen. I mean, it was like a huge hare. I mean, it was just hopping right across the road. I couldn't swerve to hit it because there was a car coming. I was just like, oh, man, I really don't want to hit this rabbit. But I ended up hitting the rabbit. And then I had to pull over. I was like, man, I got to make sure my car's okay. It's like, that was a huge rabbit. So I pulled over, and I got out, and I looked. And my car was completely fine. I looked back at the rabbit. It wasn't. I was just like, oh, man, this poor rabbit. It's just barely breathing. And all of a sudden, this old, rusty, beat-up pickup truck comes right down the road and stops. I was like, hey, man, you good? I'm like, yeah, I'm good. I just accidentally hit this rabbit, and I was just making sure my car was okay. He's like, well, you hit a rabbit? Hang on, I got something. So he goes back to his truck, and he pulls out this can, some kind of spray bottle. I was just like, what's going on? And he walks over to it and sprays the rabbit down. And the weirdest thing happens after that. The rabbit gets up, looks at me and looks at the guy, waves at us, and starts kind of hopping off. He's like, what is going on? It's like a rabbit is waving at me. It just got hit by a car, and now it's waving at me. And it hopped a few more steps, looked right back at me, waved again. Hopped a few more steps, looked back at me, waved again. It's like, man, what kind of spray did you put on that rabbit? He goes, oh, it's just some hairspray. It says it restores damaged hair, and it leaves it with a permanent wave. That didn't actually happen. I wish it would have happened, but we don't live in that kind of world. So imagine a world in which you reign supreme. You choose how the things and how nature and how everything is in a world. Imagine what that would look like. Are you imagining a world where there's peace, no suffering, puppies in every building? Okay, now look deep into your heart. I want you to look at all your dark desires that you have, the ones that scare you to admit. Now what does that world look like? Dark? Scary? Let me take you on a journey into my mind on when I thought on this question. So immediately I did like you, and I thought of the best possible scenarios. I was like, there's going to be no more homeless people, okay? That's out the window. If I'm ruling the world, there's no more homeless people. We're going to have world peace. Everything's going to be a dreamland. But then I started getting specific, and that's when it took a turn for the worse. I started thinking, where would I live? You know, who would I be? Well, of course, I'm going to be the most powerful, the most famous person on the face of the earth. No one on earth would be above me, and everyone would love and adore me. And all those who oppose me would be my enemies, and I'd make them my slaves to do my dirty work. And I was just, oh, shoot. That's not what I want at all. Why am I thinking like this? It got dark real quick. You know, why is this? I mean, why is sometimes our deepest desire so dark? I believe this is because we live in an imperfect world, and our desires are not always that good. So I've got to ask the question, what is your greatest desire, and where do you find your self-worth? Tonight my topic is, I wish Jesus never said, sell all that you have. And that's an interesting topic for me because clearly I haven't done this. You know, I'm wearing this jacket and this suit, which costs quite a bit of money, going to a college that costs a lot of money. And I'm going to get a job to where I can earn more money and buy more things. So it's kind of the opposite of this entire lesson. So who am I to stand up here and look at you and be like, sell all that you have? So I'm not. Don't worry. I'm still going to preach to you about giving. You're not getting the gain of that early. But instead, I want to look at the story from a different angle. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 18. And we're going to be looking through 18 verses 18 through 30. We're going to spend quite a bit of time here reading the story. Verse 18. And the ruler asked him, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. He said, All of these things I have kept from my youth. And when Jesus heard this, he said to him, one thing you still lack. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. But when he heard these things, he became extremely sad, for he was extremely rich. Jesus, seeing that he had become sad, said, how difficult it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. Those who heard it then said, then who can be saved? But he said, what is impossible with man is possible with God. And Peter said, see, we have left our homes and followed you. And he said to them, truly I say to you, there is not one who has left his house or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who will not receive many times more in this time and the age to come eternal life. So what happened here? Well, what happened to the ruler in this story? He turned away because he didn't want to give up his riches and his desires. But why? Why? He knew he was talking to Jesus. He knew he was finding out the answers that we ask all the time. That's, how do I get eternal life? What do I need to do? Am I walking the narrow path? He's literally asking Jesus how to have eternal life. He knew he was asking. And I believe he turned away because he found his worth in those riches, and that was his desire. So something about me is that I'm a type 3 on the Enneagram test. Yes, I'm going to talk about the Enneagram for a little bit. I know it's kind of cringy, but I like it. So type 3s are the achievers. They are the ones who are success-driven, who are very outgoing, and love to accomplish things and to be a part of many things. But something about type 3s that I find extremely difficult to live with is that we are so consumed with our image. What I mean by that is if I do not participate in different programs, if I'm not active, if I don't accomplish tasks, or if I don't succeed in what I do, then I feel completely worthless. I feel like a waste of space and a waste of oxygen. And here's the problem with that. I forgot God. And so here's the message I want you to take home tonight. If you only want to focus on this and tune me out for the rest of the night, that's okay, but I want to make sure that you take this home with you. If you don't find your self-worth in Christ, then you are ultimately worthless. Well, no, that sounds a bit harsh. And I know. Well, in a sense, I'm kind of saying you're worthless because there's approximately 7.53 billion people on the face of this earth. And to put that in perspective, if you were to walk outside and look at all the stars that you could see with your eye, you would have to multiply that number 3,765,000 times. I can't even count up that high. To match how many people there is on earth. If that's not enough for you, let's say you meet 10,000 people in your lifetime. That's quite a bit of people, 10,000. So we go to a school about 2,000 people. So take that and multiply it by 5. So if you met 10,000 people in your lifetime, there would still be 7.52 billion people who would have never even known your name. Feeling pretty worthless now? Why am I telling you all of this? I'm not just trying to make you feel bad for no reason. I want you to see how silly it is to put your worth in these earthly things. The American dream is that anyone can be successful, powerful, rich, and famous. But for what? To leave it all behind and be forgotten? The Word of God calls you to do so much better, to live so much happier lives. For example, imagine being homeless, leaving your family behind, and being mistreated by everyone you come into contact with, and still being happy. That is what the Word of God can do for you. Don't believe me? Look at the apostles. That's exactly what they did. And that's the beautiful and the amazing things about it. So let's go back and study this text a little bit deeper. We're going to dig into verses 18 through 22. I'm going to go ahead and reread this again. And a ruler asked him, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good except for God alone. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. And he said, all of these I have kept from my youth. Pay attention to this part. But when Jesus heard this, he said to him, one thing you still lack. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. But when he heard these things, he became very sad, for he was extremely rich. All right, so we see this guy knows who he is talking to. He knows enough about Jesus to know that he holds the answers to eternal life. It wouldn't make sense for just any ruler to come to any old normal Joe Blow from the street and just ask him these kind of important questions. Imagine Donald Trump, or better yet, David Shannon, coming to any of you and was asking, what is the secret to a great life? It wouldn't make any sense. And no offense, but if I had to choose between Jesus and any of you, I would choose Jesus to answer my questions that I have about this life. We also see from the text that this is a pretty good guy. He isn't a corrupt ruler living a life full of lust, of war, of sin. But he's keeping the commandments of God. But the main thing I want to point out to you tonight is that he is not complete. He lacks something. Have you ever lost your phone before? Remember that sinking feeling you get when you go to reach for it in your pocket and you're like, oh no, it's not there. Yeah. In that moment, it feels like nothing else that you have is worth anything. I mean, after all, it's not like you forgot your clothes or your wallet or forgot to brush your teeth in the morning. You have all of that. You just don't have your phone. But it doesn't matter because you are still incomplete. Why don't we feel about that with our spiritual life? It seems quite the opposite, right? We see the things that we're missing, but we act like it's fine. And we just kind of sweep them under the stuff that we do have in our spiritual life. How stupid is that? I mean, come on. Well, I forgot my pants today, but it's okay because I brushed my teeth this morning. No, it doesn't make any sense. No one wants half of a pizza delivered to them, or they don't want 3/4 of their favorite book. God does not want a part-time or an incomplete Christian. So what was this guy missing in his life exactly? Some of you might say charity, and some of you might say he was lacking a desire for Jesus in his life. And I would say yes. Jesus says in verse 22, sell what you have and distribute to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. Well, seems like an easy change for you and me. Seems to hit this guy so heavy. Jesus, the Son of God, tells you to give up your stuff to have treasure in heaven and follow him, and you say no? What? Is this guy out of his mind? How could you not obey Jesus? But then I look at it, and I see my life. That rich young ruler, he's me. He's you. You see, we see and hear, sell your possessions. But this guy, he's hearing, stop. Everything that you take pride in, everything that you desire in life, leave that behind. And come, follow me and be poor and worthless to the world. And that is why I believe we see this guy become very sad and turn away. So that is what I want to hit on tonight. The first is that it's good to give, but the second is to find your self-worth in Christ. So, like, I get it. You're a broke college kid living off ramen noodles and Gano. Your bank account probably looks like mine with a lot of cobwebs and some pennies. I get that. I understand. You're not going to be able just to come out tonight and give all that you have, and because it's not going to be much. And I don't expect you to give tremendously. But turn with me to Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 8. Appreciate the reading of this, but we're going to look back at it now and get really deep with this. Philippians 2, verses 3 through 8. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is in yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant. Being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross. You see, this is where I really feel like the rich young ruler. I see this commandment, but for some reason, I don't want to do it. Verse 3 really hits me hard when it says, do nothing out of selfish ambition. And get this, to count everyone as more significant than yourself. What are you saying? I have to put myself below everyone? I came to a self-revelation about myself the other day when I read this verse. I thought about my money. I thought about, why don't I give that little bit of extra cash in my wallet to the betterment of the kingdom or to the poor? And as soon as I asked myself that, I answered myself that. It was almost immediate. You know what I said? Well, what if there's something I want to buy later? How selfish. I have all that I need. I have food. I have clothing. I have shelter. But yet, I know for a fact there are those that don't have that. And yet, I'm saving my cash for something like maybe a new video game or a new guitar. What will God say on judgment? And look, I know this is not easy. And that's why I think it's important here to note that. Because we live in a culture where if you're not rich and successful, then you're nothing. So I don't expect you to wake up tomorrow and view others as more important than yourself. But what I want to challenge you to do is take baby steps. Because eventually those baby steps turn into big steps. And those big steps into leaps. So start by viewing everyone as a soul. Not as a gender or a social class or even a social club for that matter. But view them as a soul. Then maybe go on to try fulfilling at least one person's necessities. Or maybe even do some kind of community service. It's all around you. There's an open mission field out there for you to work. You just have to look. Take those baby steps. Think about it this way. If you were a praying mantis, it would be socially acceptable for you to devour your mate. And if you were a honey badger, well, you have no regard for any animal's life whatsoever. And get this one. This one kind of shocked me. If you're a panda bear and you have twins, it's completely normal for you to throw one away and to only take care of one of them. But if humans did any of that, that'd be looked at as so immoral, so wrong, so unjust. Why? Why do humans care so much about justice? Because God instilled it in us. There's a reason we shouldn't be okay with leaving the weak to die or to kill other humans for fun. Now hear me out on this. All humans are created equal before God. And if we view that for what it really is, we would treat others with fairness and with dignity. But we don't. We see people taking advantage of the weak, neglecting the hungry, and avoiding the poor. This is the opposite of what the Bible teaches. Let's look at Jesus for an example. He was always looking for ways to serve others, whether it was feeding the hungry or healing the sick or casting out demons. He served mankind so far as to go to the cross for us. And we can't give our extra cash or clothes that we don't wear anymore or food to those who are in need. What will God say on judgment? Even as important as giving is, it's not the main thing I wanted to talk about tonight. I wanted to talk about what I think to be the main reason the rich young ruler turned away. Take a trophy, for example. You know, those big plastic things that we try to compete for. What makes a trophy so significant? Why do we strive to win trophies? Why does it matter what place we get in making music or homecoming or intramural sports? Because we decide our self-worth by those accomplishments. The more trophies I have, the better I must be. I have all of these, so I must be worth something. Same thing with friends. I have all of these friends. I must be worth something. I have so much cash and money. I must be worth something. I look good, or I have a lot of followers, or this or that, or you name it, so I must be worth something. No, it will never make you worth anything. Why? Because it's temporary. It's vanity. It's worthless. I don't look back at my trophy from first grade t-ball and think, man, I'm some hot stuff. That just doesn't happen because it doesn't matter. God warns us throughout the entire Bible to desire Him and not the passions of the world. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to the earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Colossians 3:5. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. 1 John 2:17. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Matthew 6:21. What is it that you desire the most? The thing that you put all of your self-worth in? Is it glory? Is it pride? Is it friends? Is it money? Is it possessions? Is it fitness? Is it academics? What is it? What would Jesus say to you What's that one thing that you still lack? Give up this and come follow me. Brothers and sisters, why on earth are you selling yourself so short? Why are you binding yourselves to these things and these meaningless lives? You want to put your self-worth into something? Put it in the creator of everything. Put it in the savior in the entire world. Put it in the one who knows you by name and the one who died for you. Put it in the one that's going to last for all eternity. Put it in Jesus Christ. God calls you to do so much more and for so much better. So you want to find your worth in something? God died for you. If you don't feel special now, then nothing's ever going to make you feel special. And you would fall right in this category of the rich young ruler. If you are seeking anything more than you are seeking God, then you are this rich young ruler. And if you are not willing to give up your pride for the glory of God, then you are the rich young ruler. And if you are the rich young ruler, you're probably wishing, I wish Jesus never said, sell all that you have. But guess what? He did. And we have to live with that. And I guarantee you, if you put your self-worth in Christ, and you desire Christ more than anything in the world, you will live much happier lives. So tonight you might be here, and you don't desire Christ, but you want to. This lesson's here tonight for somebody. If nothing else, it's here for me. I needed to hear this more than anyone in here. But this lesson's here tonight for someone. And if you were that person that this lesson was for, please don't leave here without making a change, whether that is becoming baptized and putting on Christ through baptism, or if it's making your life right. We love you, and we want to help you tonight. So whatever way is possible, please let that be known as we sing.